Like you, God of all flesh, Father of all spirits, you reign indeed, and we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you glory, we give you glory, we give you glory, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. If you can, you may be seated. If you can. For unto us a child is born. Just while we kicked off yesterday, and I beheld a heavily pregnant woman outside. And we're joking. We're joking with her and saying, this young child has tarried long. And I guess God took it seriously. And while we're still in the service, the labor came on this ground. And she had to be rushed to the hospital, and a fine child was delivered. And child. So right now, Uka is an experienced father. Experienced. Hallelujah. Please turn to the book of Hebrews quickly. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. We were not born unto bondage. We're not born unto limitation. It is written that a little one shall become a thousand, and a strong one shall become a strong nation. A small one shall be a strong nation. For though thy beginning be small, the Bible says, thy later end shall greatly increase. This is our heritage in God. Hallelujah. And so it's needful for us to know the bounties that make for our mercy, and for us to take advantage of them. Are you with me? Hebrews 12:25. 24. and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So the emphasis is speaking. You are come to many things, one of which is we are come unto the blood of sprinkling. There are nine voices in the court of God. We must understand how to take advantage of these realities domiciled in the universal court. Hallelujah. So we are come unto the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling. We are come unto it. We are come unto it. The first time in scripture where we began to see the potential and the possibilities that abound with blood was when a violation took place in the book of Genesis that Cain slew his brother. It's written in scripture that the blood of Abel had vocabulary. That's the first time. We never knew there was such a possibility because the blood cried from the ground. If we read critically, study in sequence, precept upon precept, line upon line, you realize that in that case, God gave judgment based on the utterance of blood. What God pronounced upon Abel was as a result of the full articulation of the demands of that blood, and the utterance of that blood ascended into the universal court. Proper inventory was taken, and without a physical presence, as it were, in the universal court, the utterance of the blood was sufficient to secure a verdict from the mouth of God. That verdict was the reason for the curse that was laid upon Cain. Blood is powerful. Hallelujah. Now, in this scripture, we see a comparison, a contrast, and a comparison between the blood of Abel, as potent as it was, and we have another blood here, and it's unto that blood that we are come in Zion. Hallelujah. In order not to bother you too much, the Bible says that there are three that bear witness on earth. The water, the blood, and the spirit. Now we don't have time to unravel that. We have been doing that before. But what you have noted was the occasion of the crucifixion of Jesus. What do you have note? Because on the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, there was something that happened. And what happened was that the blood of Jesus touched the ground. Now, you see, the blood of Abel, Abel was an innocent man. So, there is an extent to which the blood of an innocent man will have capacity to cry in the universal court. Are you with me? I know you are not here. But God will. It's your spirit I'm talking to. Maybe in the next 25 years, one day when you are taking your bath in the morning, then God will recall the utterance that because it was in your spirit. See, the blood of Abel is the blood of an innocent man. And on the strength of innocence before God, he was crying, "I did nothing." And so the blood was demanding a balancing of accounts. Meanwhile, you must understand that the PA system from whence the blood cried was where? the ground. That's the PA system. He gave the blood a platform for utterance. Maybe that means that means the ground might have capacities and potencies that we may not really know. Because the Bible says the blood cried from the ground. I've said it before here that the ground actually is the most detailed accountant. The ground keeps record of activity. Hallelujah. Because it was a ground that demanded that there must be balance of accounts. Because there is something, there is a debit here, and there must be a credit. It was a ground that fought. It was a ground that insisted to carry that entrance until there was a balance of equation. When you run down scripture, you will find out that after God called Abraham, and God gave Abraham insight into the things that are yet to come. Oh, God is mighty. I hope you know we are nothing without Him. We are nothing. God is great and we are nothing. In fact, all we are is because of His grace, His loving kindness. Now, God apprehended Abraham, gave him an insight of things to come. And when this happened, told him that his descendants were going to languish in captivity for 400 years. That was not a good thing to know about your seed in the earth. Now, but you see, God, I know that Abraham was troubled about the information that had come through prophecy. And God had to tell him the reason. That means God had to share with him spiritual understanding. You know, Paul prayed that we should be filled with the knowledge of God in all spiritual understanding. That means you must know God's will, and you must also know why God decided to take that pathway. It will help your compliance. It will help your implementation of the part of the covenant that falls to you. Now, I know Abraham was troubled because he found out that his descendants were going to tarry in captivity. And God decided to unveil another statement that showed him why. He said, the land that I promised to your descendants is still in custody of people that have a right to it. Even if you bring a bazooka, bring uranium bomb, you cannot displace them from that land because they have a right to the land as at yet. But it shall come to pass that when the sin of the Amorites, the iniquity of the Amorites reaches the tipping point, that suggests to us that there is something like a cup, spiritual cup, that has, you know, we do a lot of measurement. We measure petroleum products as they come. So there is what we call a UTI, oil-age temperature instrument. You insert it into the tank. A tank, one of the tanks on the vessels can be three times this height. Will stand on the deck up there on the sea. And the instrument becomes your eyes. And the oil-age temperature instrument is designed in such a way that when the tip of the instrument touches the layer of the oil, it begins to give a shout. It sends an alarm. So we now know that that is, at that height, there is product. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let me forget about my physics. Now, it came to pass that God told Abraham, you see, your guys are going to be in captivity because the cup of the Amorites are not yet full. They'll be receiving process in captivity as we wait for the cup to get filled. So it's as if there's a UTI in heaven. It gives measurement, just like we measure the content of the tank. And then the UTI will give an alarm that this is where the oil is. So now, that's length. Abi? Then you go to something we call the calibration chart. The calibration chart translates that length to volume. You know, engineers did that. Circle geometry. Pi r square h. Hallelujah. And so even if the calibration chart is wrong, come there, do your own calculation by the corner. If it's not equivalent to what you have in the chart, then you have to shut down the system. So there's a measurement on the cup. And the cup reading, amen, must come to a point where it is full. At that time, the iniquity has reached a tipping point, and the people do not no longer have a right to the land. Why? Because the land is an accountant. It bears record. And it's a record of the cry that comes from that land that becomes the measurement in the cup of holding. He said it will take about 400 years for us to reach the tipping point. At that point, you'll be able to possess the land. Not because you are strong, but because the land will help you. The land. The accountant, he will help you. Are you with me? Now that means iniquity cries. And the Bible confirmed it when God came to oversee Sodom. He said he came because he wanted to confirm if the cry of the iniquity was equivalent to the sin thereof. So it means the cry has been ascending well to heaven. The universal court has record of a strange cry that God himself had to come to see if, is it possible? Are humans capable of generating this kind of cry? So he came in the company of angels and then met Abraham. Abraham on earth was actually part of the court system. While he was doing his intercession, trying to create passage and possibility, through his stature in the spirit, he was wielding that stature to secure mercy and using that position of favor he had to secure a position of mercy that will be in the advantage of the city. But it happened to be that the witnesses were not sufficient. So, hallelujah. I thought that God would have stopped there because Abraham stopped at 10, but God did not stop there. That means if God has stopped where Abraham stopped, Lot should have died with his people. But in the day of the execution of that judgment, the Bible now gave us insight that God remembered Abraham and showed Lot mercy, even though the contract of negotiation did not reach. So the Bible says, with thee there is mercy, and with thee there is plenteous redemption. The way God will minister to Prophet Isaac, and under the same circumstance, that may not be the approach that God will use for me. But because with God, there is mercy. And with him, there is what? Plenteous redemption. There are many ways for God to achieve redemption in the lives of people. But what triggers redemption is that God has decided to be merciful. And that was the mercy that made Lot to escape, even though the negotiation did not cover him. The witness in Sodom and Gomorrah was not complete, was insufficient. Now, what I want to bring out of all these stories is to show you that the accountant never loses count of the up-to-date cry. The accountant, the ground was the one that, the platform that advanced the demand for the balance of equation in the situation of Abel. The accountant gave a cry to show that there was defilement beyond the threshold in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the courtroom session in heaven had to release a verdict. But before the verdict came, the house of rep, you know, sometimes the Senate can come to your village. Maybe there's something crying from your village, and the house of rep member in the floor of the house now says, "Say, wait, there's a challenge." And he was able to get sufficient audience, brought a cogent case on ground. They say, "All right, before we act on this, let's send some delegates." So there was pending judgment, and God decided to accompany the delegates himself in the company of two ranking angels, and they came into the city. And they confirmed that human departure from alignment has gotten to a level, a height of concern to heaven. That the activities of which they heard the cry was actually confirmed. Amen? Now, do you see there must be a prophet in the context, a human being in the context that has stature and ranking, that whose voice can shake this great court and generate a position of favor on the account of his own stature and his own walk with God. Now, the fact that you did not fall when you were tempted, it matters. The fact that you didn't lie when you were under pressure, all of those things sum up to determine your stature before God. Now, it is worthy of note that when Jesus was placed upon the cross, something happened. Something happened that made an unbeliever to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God without a message. His blood struck the ground and it rent the ground. The same accountant that projected the demand for Abel's, for the violation over Abel's life to meet an equivalent scope of judgment from God, the same accountant that gave readings concerning the iniquity in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, experienced something that he has not experienced before. I'm just trying to compare the blood of Abel with the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Abel was the blood of an innocent man. The blood of Jesus was the blood of a righteous man. Those are two different things. An innocent man and what? The blood of Abel had the potency to secure a verdict because he didn't do anything. I hope you know there are some people that they kill with witchcraft and then they now kill one person. And it's the wrong person. His blood was the wrong blood. Because of that, I'm not saying somebody prayed though. They just killed somebody. And maybe in some context, the person was innocent. That becomes a challenge. In fact, the whole coven shut down, not because the man was a prayer warrior. The whole coven, the entire coven shut down. Many people begin to die indiscriminately just because an innocent man was touched. Hallelujah. Now, but it's a different paradigm when we talk about a righteous man. That's something that this civilization, this earth, does not know. You understand? That was the first time the accountant was having to generate readings from that kind of blood. And the implication was that there was an earthquake. The accountant was incapable of articulating the full capacity of utterance that that kind of blood carries. So the computer itself crashed. It was that earthquake that ran through the foundation of that city and ran to the temple. It was that earthquake that was responsible for rending the garment of the Holy of Holies. That same earthquake. That means there was no parameter on earth that could give us a reading, a value of its potency. And there was no system by which we could fully articulate the utterance, the content of the utterance. The Bible says in Zion, we are come unto that blood. The blood of sprinkling. Now, I need to tell us a few things because we are going to have passage tonight. Amen. Just like the children of Israel had passage through the Red Sea. And they were able to journey into destiny through a path that nobody knew existed. It was the power that guided the rod that discovered it. Hallelujah. There are pathways in the spirit that are not known even to some angels. But you see, if you can invoke the accurate scepter, you can unveil it. The Bible reveals that even the very presence of God, it will take the blood to gain access to the passage. Now, I want you to see how powerful that blood is. Every time you lean on it, you have passage. You know, the Bible says it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Now, let's theologically take an inventory of the capacity of that blood. I hope you know the Bible says, for this purpose the Son of Man was made manifest, that he might destroy what? Now, if we read that scripture in context, the work of the devil, the principal work of the devil is sin. If you read it in context, That's the principal work of the devil. And the facility that the devil had that he wanted to implement upon the face of the earth through the instrumentality of sin was death. That was his grand nature. He wanted to execute his grand nature, and the premise upon which he would carry out such execution was rebellion against God. And then the Bible says, for this reason, the Son of Man was made manifest. That he might destroy that foundation upon which death can ride. Destroy the work of the devil. Excuse me. How did he deal with sin? It was still that blow. That blow. That dealt with every possible legal foundation upon which Satan will have expression and manifest his ultimate power, which is death. Now, so when we are interfacing with the blood, we are interfacing with life and life eternal. Something that we are used to death. We have seen death in all its forms, in all its shades and colors. Reproach, infirmity, sickness. Every time you hear, you say, oh, this one is the work of the devil. But as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Anytime you hear Jesus react like that, he is addressing death. So death in all its shades and colors. The answer to such death has its foundation in this blood. So when you are dealing with the blood, you are dealing with the path of life. Life and life eternal. So by this blood, we have access into the presence of God. By this blood, we can access the throne of grace. We can secure mercy. We can find grace to help in the time of need. And this is spiritual fact. Do you know what I mean by spiritual fact? A spiritual fact is something that is true in the spirit realm. You don't need to feel like it is true before it works. It is there now. And if you have faith, just like the proof that Jesus is coronated the Christ in heaven, is the outpouring of the Spirit. So anytime you touch the Holy Spirit, it's a proof that the Christ is well seated in his throne of majesty. That's a spiritual fact. A man cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit except he understands that there's a throne that is occupied. Because that's the basis upon which the Spirit is poured. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So any day that Jesus sits on that throne is another day that the Spirit of God can move. It is a fact. So the blood is the access route into the presence of God. That also is what? You may not feel like it. Maybe you offended God and then you asked for mercy and, excuse me, you didn't feel like you were forgiven. That your feeling is a lie. And you felt like this. But, you see, what we are dealing with is beyond feelings. Because the day you got SSC certificate, you didn't feel anything. But you were already certified. May the Lord give you understanding. Did you feel anything when they gave you your degree certificate? You just knew by this certificate, I'm a graduate. Even maybe when they ask you simple question, 1 + 1, you fail. 2 + 2, you fail. It doesn't change the fact that I am a certified chemist. Now, so we are not dealing with feelings here. We are dealing with what? Facts. So I don't need to feel anything. That is a reality. It's a fact in the spiritual. Are you with me? Now, so when you are dealing with that blood, in fact, by the time you present the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, that's payment receipt. You know, when you bring a receipt, the Nigerian police cannot harass you anymore. So this is the receipt. That means fully paid for. And it happens to be that the legal tender by which your redemption was purchased is still. So when you are transit, you are trafficking, you are transacting with the blood of Jesus, you are transacting in the realm of life. The Bible says that God has called us into an inheritance among the saints in the light. There is a world out there called the light. And in that light, the blood is one of the participles of that reality in the light. Finally, Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. You see, you may not like approaching the courts, but Satan, Satan, in the day, he's in the court. He's pressing charges. while you are sleeping, he's pressing charges. He's pressing charges. He said, I forgot this exhibit. There was an exhibit, but it was not handy yesterday. But today I've come to add it to the previous one. Day and night, it's very active. A preacher was preaching the other day and said he has analyzed based on Bible study that Satan works more than Daniel and Michael and Gabriel. Satan, that's it. Now, don't be troubled by that preacher's comment. Because verse 11 settles it. And they overcame him. And so this guy that shows up day and night. So, principal to our victory in the courts of heaven is our understanding of the blood of the Lamb. And our exploitation of his potential. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Hallelujah. By the what? Words of their testimony. So, even though they had words to present, they had testimonies to present in the court of God, there were two things that made, there was something that made the testimony potent. They overcame him first and foremost because they had the advantage, alignment with the blood of the Lamb, and their testimony became potent. I said that there are nine voices in the courtroom, and whenever we approach the courtroom, we must align with these voices, take advantage of their possibilities and their potential. They overcame him. He does this day and night. He's there with exhibit. He knows the thoughts you had when something happened, and he gathers it. He knows the utterances you made, stray utterances that came out of pressure. He picked it up. He knows the things, you know, your failures, your mistakes, your insufficiencies. He gathers all of that and it becomes exhibit that he takes to the presence of God. But the Bible says, even though he had facts, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. The Lord will grant us passage this evening. Passage. Mighty access. Mighty passage into things hidden, things concealed, things buried, things covered. Amen. The books of remembrance will be called. And verdict and judgment will be given in favor of the saints. Amen. We come by the blood of sprinkling. The blood that speaketh. And so that voice that comes through the blood, as you invoke it, you activate it through repentance. He has his own vocabulary. He has his own utterance. And I said there was no parameter that could be used to either decipher his potential, his potency, here on earth. Because all the other parameters failed. The earth that would have received that blood and maybe told us what the cry of the blood, the demand of the blood was. When the blood touched it, there was earthquake. So the computer could not give us accurate readings. There was supposed to be an echo of that blood in the Holy of Holies, God's dwelling place. In fact, by the time the thing touched the ground, the garment of God's secret chamber was rent from top to bottom. Hallelujah. It was so potent, so powerful. The entire human race was given a possibility to walk in life and light on the account of what changed in the realm of the spirit when that blood was accommodated to become a factor to reckon with from that frame of reference. That blood, the Bible says, it speaks. And the only hint we were given that is in the text now is that his utterance and the things he speaks are in the interest of the righteous. He speaks better. It means Abel's blood demanded affliction. This one is demanding something else. Liberty. Deliverance. He speaks life. He speaks mercy. There is payment on this life. This is a brand that has been plucked out of the fire. Someone was judged so that this one could be found in security. He speaks better things than in the blood of Abel. So we are bound to win a battle against darkness if we have access to the blood. And that is, it was summed up. That's why it's in scripture. And there overcame him. Now, you see, the guy is active. He knows that he can gain some leverage if he gets a verdict. So he's very active. Day and night is there. But they overcame him. And it's unto that blood that we have come now that we are in Zion. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.